It's August 2026, and you're listening to Bad Astrologer. I'm a Gemini, which means I'm uniquely qualified to judge everyone. 12 signs. One podcast. No apologies. Let's get into it. Aries, you want credit for the vision. You always want credit for the vision. August is the month you'll discover, again, that having a clear picture of the destination is not the same as having packed a bag. Saturn is sitting directly on your sign right now at nearly 15 degrees of Aries, and it has been for a while. Saturn in your first house is the planetary equivalent of a very patient mentor who has stopped being patient. It is asking, with increasing directness, whether you are actually building anything or whether you are just very, very confident about your potential. Confidence is lovely. Saturn does not accept it as currency. Neptune is also in Aries, which is the part nobody warns you about. Neptune dissolves the edges of things. In your first house, it dissolves the edges of you, which means you've spent recent months with a slightly blurred sense of who you are and what you actually want, as distinct from what sounds exciting when you say it out loud. The vision has been vivid. The plan has been impressionistic. The month opens with all of this still in play, and Mercury arriving in Leo around the same time as the new moon on 13th of August does not help in the way you're hoping. Leo is your fifth house, the zone of self-expression, performance, and creative ego. Mercury in Leo makes everything feel speakable, pitchable, announceable. The new moon in Leo opens a door for bold new beginnings in exactly the arena where you most love to perform. You will have an excellent idea. You will tell several people about it. You will feel, having told people, that something has been accomplished. It hasn't. In love, the pattern this month is a specific one, and I say this with some affection because I've seen it before. You mistake intensity for intimacy. When things are going well with someone, you're warm and present and magnetic, which is the easy part. When things require sustained, unremarkable effort, you find somewhere else to direct your attention, and you tell yourself you're just giving them space. You're not. You're getting bored and refusing to call it that. Venus moves from Virgo into Libra mid-month, shifting through your sixth and seventh houses, which makes relationship effort both more visible and more required. If there's someone in your life you've been meaning to properly show up for, August is going to make the gap between intention and follow-through quite legible to them, even if not to you. Mars, your ruling planet, moves from Gemini into Cancer as the month progresses. Your ruler entering Cancer puts it in your fourth house, your domestic foundations, your private life, the place you don't usually let people look. There's energy here for dealing with something you've been avoiding at home. Some logistical thing, some emotional thing, some conversation you keep nearly having. Whether you spend it there or diffuse it into three new projects is entirely your choice. The full moon on 28th of August falls in Pisces, illuminating your 12th house, which is where things go when you refuse to deal with them. Expect something to resurface. Expect to feel briefly certain that it has nothing to do with you. Here is the thing I'd rather not have to say, because you're actually excellent company and I've enjoyed knowing you. You have a habit of starting something, getting 60% of the way there, finding the next thing more interesting, and then retrospectively reframing the 60% as a completed chapter rather than an unfinished one. You know this about yourself. The uncomfortable part is that the people around you know it too, and they've quietly stopped expecting the other 40%. August won't fix that, but Saturn will keep asking the question. Eventually, even you will get tired of not answering it. Right, next up, Taurus. August arrives, and you are, once again, being asked to go home for something you didn't choose and can't escape. A birthday? A barbecue? A vaguely mandatory gathering that was described to you as nothing formal by someone who has never in their life done anything informally. You will go. You will bring something nice. You will stand in a kitchen that isn't yours, holding a drink you didn't want, listening to a relative explain something you already know, and you will nod. You will nod so precisely, so carefully, that no one will be able to prove you weren't listening. Saturn is grinding through Aries and sitting in your 12th house, which is the house of things you carry quietly and never mention. This is the house of resentments that have been folded up small and stored somewhere sensible, like a grudge in a drawer. You'll feel the weight of something old this month, probably something connected to family obligation. Probably something you thought you'd dealt with. You haven't dealt with it. You've just gotten very good at carrying it. The new moon on 13th August falls in Leo, which lights up your fourth house. The fourth house is home, roots, and the complicated question of who you are when you're around the people who knew you before you figured yourself out. This new moon is asking you to start something fresh in that territory, which would be lovely if the territory weren't currently occupied by a relative who has opinions about your choices and delivers them with the warmth of someone reading out planning permission. Jupiter is also in Leo, expanding everything the fourth house touches. That means the gathering is bigger, louder, and more inescapable than usual. It also means your feelings about it are bigger, which you will handle by becoming very focused on logistics. You will know exactly when the event starts, how long you're expected to stay, and what time the trains run, and you will frame this as practicality rather than a very thorough exit strategy. At work, Venus is moving through Virgo for most of August before shifting into Libra, which governs your 6th and 7th houses, respectively. This is actually decent for professional relationships, and there's a version of August where you charm a colleague or consolidate something quietly useful. The catch is Mercury moving through Leo through the middle of the month, making everyone around you louder and more performative than you'd prefer. You'll do good work while others are busy being noticed for doing it. This will irritate you more than you'll admit. The full moon on 28th of August is in Pisces, activating your 11th house of friends, communities, and the people you've chosen rather than inherited. After 3 weeks of family and obligation, this moon is essentially a window cracking open. Use it. Let someone you actually like see you after a month of performing contentment at kitchen gatherings. Now, the thing you won't want to hear. At some point this month, the difficult relative will say something and you will not respond. You will go very still, very pleasant, and you will change the subject with a precision that looks like grace. And you will spend the next 4 days composing the reply you should have given in increasingly satisfying detail entirely in your own head and then never send it. You will call this letting it go. It is not letting it go. You know that. I know that. The imaginary version of them you've been arguing with for 72 hours knows that. You are stubbornly, quietly loyal to the people who deserve it least and most at the same time, and that is a specific and exhausting kind of love that most people don't have the stamina for. August will ask a great deal of it. You'll manage. You always do, which is both your finest quality and the reason no one ever worries about you, even when they should. Moving on, and it doesn't get better. Gemini. You've been doing this for years, telling yourself you're flexible when you're actually just unwilling to commit, telling others you're curious when you're actually just bored, telling everyone you're fine when the browser has 17 tabs open and three of them are things you bought at 11 p.m. and can't remember why. August is going to make all of this worse before it gets better, and I say that as someone who shares your sun sign and has therefore watched myself do every single one of these things in real time. Uranus has been sitting in Gemini since earlier this year, and by August it's well settled at 5 degrees, which means it's sitting directly on your first house of self, identity, and the face you show the world. This is not subtle. You are being asked to change at the level of who you are, and you are responding by buying things. I understand this. I do not endorse it. Mercury, your ruling planet, spends August doing a full tour, Cancer into Leo into Virgo, all in 1 month. Your mind will move at a pace that exhausts everyone around you and then, at the end, snap into a Virgo-style precision that makes you think you've cracked it. You haven't. You've just entered a different kind of overthinking. The new moon in Leo on 13th August lands in your third house of communication, short trips and local connections. You will feel compelled to say something significant. You will possibly say several significant things. Some of them will contradict each other, and you will consider this a feature rather than a bug. On money. Jupiter in Leo is also in your third house, expanding everything it touches, including your justifications. You will not be buying things. You will be investing in yourself. You will be supporting small businesses. You will be acquiring experiences. The skincare thing that arrived in a box was an experience. The course you bought and haven't started is a long-term investment. The subscription you've been meaning to cancel since February is still active because you're going to use it properly this month, starting next week. Jupiter does not make you reckless. It makes you enthusiastic, and you do the rest. In relationships, the pattern this month is talking yourself into something that doesn't quite fit, and then talking so fluently that the other person can't find a seam to interrupt through. Venus moves from Virgo into Libra mid-month, which softens your edges slightly, but watch what you do with that. You tend to use charm as a finishing move when honesty would have served better earlier. The person who loves you has noticed this. They're too polite to say so, which means you're going to keep doing it until they aren't. Saturn in Aries is squaring your first house, and it is asking you to slow down and mean something. You don't love this. Saturn has no interest in your feelings about it. The full moon in Pisces on 28th of August lights up your 10th house of career and public reputation, which is your cue for some kind of professional visibility. Something gets seen. Try to have it be the actual work rather than a very confident LinkedIn summary of work you haven't finished. The thing I know about you that nobody ever says out loud is that you're not scared of commitment because you're flighty. You're scared because you paid close enough attention to notice it might go wrong, and you'd rather keep the option open than close it and be right. This month, Uranus is going to shuffle your identity, whether you cooperate or not. You could choose which parts of yourself you're done with, or you could wait and let the planet pick. You have better instincts than you use. That's not a compliment so much as a diagnosis. Next victim, Cancer. August is the month you finally decide to re-engage with your social life, which would be charming if you hadn't spent the last 3 months going so quiet that half your friends assumed you'd either moved abroad or died. You haven't died. You've been processing. And now you're back, requiring attention and expecting everyone to act like no time has passed. Some of them will. This is, unfortunately, going to confirm all your worst instincts about disappearing. Mars moves into Cancer mid-August, and when Mars crosses your threshold, you go from zero to emotionally present at a speed that unnerves people. You don't experience this as intensity. You experience it as finally being yourself again. The distinction matters mostly to you. The new moon on 13th of August falls in Leo, lighting up your second house of money and resources. This is a good moment for financial decisions, particularly ones involving what you're owed or what you've been undercharging for. The problem is that Mars arriving in your sign at roughly the same time makes you less, let me thoughtfully renegotiate my rates, and more, I am going to send an email I will regret in the morning. Draft it. Sleep on it. Send the second version. Mercury is doing a lot of travelling this month, moving from Cancer through Leo and into Virgo. Early August finds it still in your sign, which means your internal monologue is loud and your external monologue is louder. You will say the precise thing that someone needed to hear at the exact wrong time, in front of the exact wrong person. This is a Cancer special. You're not tactless so much as constitutionally unable to gauge the room when you're feeling it. The social dynamics this month deserve their own paragraph because they're a category. You've re-entered the group chat after a period of leaving messages on read, and you've done so with opinions, strong ones, about things that were already settled while you were away. You are relitigating finished arguments and calling it just checking in. Nobody in that chat is fooled, and at least one person has screenshotted something. In love, the move to watch is the one where you mistake sustained emotional availability for intimacy. Venus in Virgo through most of the month makes you critical in ways you dress up as caring. You notice everything. You comment on most of it. Your partner, or your person of interest, does not experience this as devotion. They experience it as being monitored. Pull back a fraction. Let some things be unremarked upon. The full moon on 28th of August in Pisces activates your 9th house, which rules expansion, meaning and everything you believe about how the world works. Something you've held as gospel will be quietly disproved this week. You'll argue with the evidence briefly before integrating it as your own idea. Classic. The observation you won't want to hear is this one. When you disappear from people's lives and then return expecting seamlessness, what you're really doing is outsourcing the maintenance of the relationship entirely. You withdraw, they wait, you come back, they're relieved, and you interpret their relief as proof the connection is fine. It is fine. It's also doing all the work, and it's getting tired. Saturn in Aries is squaring your chart all month from your 10th house, pressing on career reputation and public-facing decisions. Something in your professional life needs a harder edge. You know what it is. You've been softening it for months out of consideration for someone who stopped being considerate of you approximately 6 months ago. You're more resilient than you let yourself believe, which is unfortunate because believing you're fragile has become its own comfort. August is a decent month to put it down, if you can bear the loss. Onwards, I use the word loosely. Leo, August opens with Jupiter sitting right on top of you, in your own sign, at nearly 7 degrees. That should feel magnificent. And it does, mostly. But Jupiter in Leo has a specific side effect that nobody warns you about, which is that it makes you feel so fundamentally correct about everything that the idea of changing course starts to seem like a personal insult rather than a reasonable option. You're not arrogant. You're just very, very confident. And you'd like everyone to notice the difference, please. The conversation you need to have exists. You know which one. It's been sitting in your peripheral vision since at least June, and your strategy so far has been to be so relentlessly warm and generous and present in every other area of your life that the person it concerns will presumably forget. It needs to happen. They haven't forgotten. Neither have you. You're just hoping that if you are entertaining enough for long enough, reality will eventually lose interest and wander off. Mercury begins the month still in Cancer, which means your emotional intelligence is technically available to you. It's just buried under approximately 18 layers of performance. Around the 13th, the new moon in Leo arrives, and this is your actual moment. A new moon in your own sign, with Jupiter also in Leo, is the kind of setup that astrology textbooks write home about. It activates your first house, which governs identity, presence, and the story you tell about yourself. You'll want to use this energy to announce something. A relaunch, a reframe, a new project with a name that sounds better than it actually is. What it's actually for is beginning something real, which is different and requires you to be honest about where you're starting from. Mercury moves into Leo around mid-month and then keeps going into Virgo, passing through your second house of money and resources as it goes. This is a useful transit for looking at what you've been spending in ways you haven't examined. Not just money, though money too. Time, goodwill, emotional labor deployed as a way of keeping people close enough that they won't ask difficult questions. Mars moves from Gemini into Cancer this month, shifting from your 11th house of groups and friendships into your 12th house, which is the house astrologers describe as hidden self-undoing and which I tend to describe as the house of things you know but won't admit. Mars in your 12th house is frustrated energy with nowhere visible to go. You'll feel it as irritability. You'll attribute it to other people. The full moon on the 28th is in Pisces, lighting up your 8th house of shared resources, intimacy, and things that are psychologically tangled. Pisces is already quite porous about where one person ends and another begins, and Leo and Pisces understand each other about as well as a brass band and a fog bank. What this full moon will do is bring to the surface something that two people have been circling. If you haven't had the conversation yet, you'll be having it now, except now you'll be having it under pressure, which was entirely optional. Here is the thing about you that only people who love you know, and that you'd hate me for saying. When you finally have the difficult conversation, you're actually good at it. You're warm and clear and you don't flinch. The whole elaborate avoidance operation isn't because you'll be bad at the conversation. It's because once you have it, you'll have to give up the version of the situation that you've been performing so beautifully. Jupiter will still be in Leo when September arrives. The audience isn't going anywhere. You have enough goodwill to survive being real. All right, who's next on the list? Virgo. You have spent the better part of this month reorganizing the problem rather than solving it. I've watched Virgos do this for years, and it never stops being both impressive and maddening. The spreadsheet is immaculate. The root cause remains untouched. Mercury is the reason August feels like it's moving through three different speeds simultaneously. It starts the month in Cancer, which already pulls your attention toward home and family before you've had a chance to object, then drags itself through Leo and finally limps into Virgo by the end of the month. This is your chart ruler covering three signs in 31 days, and you will feel every gear change. You'll think you've got a handle on things, and then something will shift and you'll have to recalibrate from scratch. This is not bad luck. This is just August being structurally unkind to you. The family thing. I have to talk about the family thing. With Mercury opening in Cancer and activating your 11th and 12th houses before eventually coming home to Virgo, you are going to spend a meaningful chunk of this month in conversations you didn't choose with people you share DNA with. And the specific problem won't be the difficult relative, the one you've mentally filed under manageable if I see them twice a year maximum. The specific problem will be you, quietly, invisibly, running their errands, covering their administrative failures, and sending the apologetic message on their behalf while also resenting every second of it and telling absolutely no one. You are not a martyr. You would be horrified to be called one. But you are absolutely doing martyr's work while wearing the costume of someone who has everything under control. The full moon on 28th August lands in Pisces, directly opposite your sign, which means it's lighting up your seventh house. Someone close to you has been trying to tell you something for weeks, and you have been too busy being efficient to hear it. Not because you don't care, because feelings arriving without a clear agenda make you nervous, and you've learned to stay busy as a defense. The full moon is going to make that strategy temporarily unavailable. In work, Saturn sitting in Aries is grinding away at your eighth house, which governs shared resources, other people's money, and the financial obligations that feel like they belong to you but technically don't. If you've been quietly absorbing costs, practically or emotionally, that belong to a colleague or a project or a partnership, August is the month you notice the receipt is larger than expected. Jupiter in Leo is still expansive and generous in your 12th house, but Jupiter in Leo has a tendency to make things feel more abundant than they are, and you are susceptible to believing the numbers will sort themselves out if you just work a bit harder. Venus is in Virgo for the first stretch of the month before moving into Libra, and for that window you are, against your own instincts, a little magnetic. People want to be around you. You will probably spend this time worrying about something administrative rather than noticing. I'm not telling you to stop being productive. I'm telling you that you left several good conversations early because you thought you should be somewhere else and you weren't. The thing you won't enjoy hearing is this. You don't help people because you're selfless. You help people because it gives you something to do that isn't sitting with your own uncertainty. The help is real, it's useful, people are grateful. But underneath the organized, capable exterior, there's someone who finds their own interior somewhat terrifying and has spent a decade building a schedule that ensures they rarely have to visit it. Mercury coming home to Virgo at the end of the month might actually give you an hour or two of genuine clarity. Don't fill it immediately. You're not fine, but you're coping so well that the difference is basically invisible, which is either a tremendous achievement or a long-term problem you've been extremely efficient at postponing. Probably both. Brace yourself, Libra. You've spent the last 3 weeks quietly, methodically ranking yourself against someone who doesn't know they're in competition with you. This person might be a colleague, it might be an ex's new partner, it might be someone you follow on Instagram whose life looks a little too much like the life you had planned for yourself. Whoever it is, you've been tracking them the way a naturalist tracks a rare bird. With patience, with notes, and with a level of attention that would alarm you if you caught yourself doing it out loud. Venus moves into Libra around mid-August, and when your ruling planet comes home, you become more yourself, which is wonderful, except that more yourself right now apparently means spending 40 minutes composing a message that sounds effortlessly casual. Everyone around you can see the effort. You are wearing the effort. The person you're sending it to can probably sense it from 3 postcodes away. The new moon falls in Leo on the 13th, activating your 11th house of social networks, groups, and who you know versus who you wish you knew. This is where the comparison problem goes from background hum to foreground noise. Someone in your circle will get something. Recognition, an invitation, a promotion, a pregnancy, something that feels cosmically allocated and cosmically unfair. You won't say anything. You'll smile, and your smile will be so convincing that nobody will notice it doesn't reach your eyes. I notice. The chart notices. Jupiter is sitting in Leo all month, which has been quietly inflating expectations in that same 11th house for a while now. You've been picturing a version of your social life, your reputation, your place in the room that is several sizes larger than the current reality. This is not entirely your fault. Jupiter in Leo makes everything look achievable, shiny, imminent. The difficulty is that it also makes everyone else's achievements look like a direct commentary on your own. At work, you've started framing your contributions slightly differently depending on the audience. You're not lying, precisely. You're editing, selecting which parts of the truth you'd like to foreground. Mercury arrives in Leo and then shifts into Virgo during August, and this transit sharpens your communication instincts considerably, which in practice means you become very good at sounding decisive while actually deferring all the decisions that frighten you. The full moon in Pisces on the 28th lands in your sixth house of daily work and habits. Something about how you've been structuring your days or not structuring them catches up with you. You've been performing busyness rather than doing the specific thing you've been putting off because it might not go as well as you need it to. You know exactly which thing I mean. Saturn in Aries is squaring your sign all month, and Saturn doesn't ask nicely. It turns up at the table, sits down without being invited, and starts asking what you've actually built versus what you've been enthusiastically describing building. The answer to that question is making you difficult to be around because people can feel you working out the gap between the two things, and the energy it produces is restless and a bit competitive and occasionally snide in ways you'd be mortified to have pointed out. You are a person who can hold 12 perspectives simultaneously and make them all feel considered. That's rare. Use it this month for something other than arguing yourself out of taking the shot. This one's going to sting. Scorpio. August arrives and you are already, without realizing it, drawing a map of who has wronged you. Not dramatically, you're not pacing the floor. You're just quietly updating the internal ledger, the one you've kept since approximately age 7, and adding this month's entries with the careful precision of someone who was never going to forgive this anyway, but wants to be fair about it. Pluto has been grinding through Aquarius and sitting square to your sign, and what that means in practice is that the power dynamics you thought were settled have started shifting again. Not because anyone did anything, because you noticed something and now you can't unnotice it, and now everything is evidence. The family situation this month deserves a paragraph of its own because it is its own thing. There is a relative, and you know which one, who is going to say something in early August that sounds like nothing. A throwaway comment. The kind of thing that most people would let drift past like a crisp packet in a gentle breeze. You will not let it drift. You will fold it up very small and put it somewhere deep and retrieve it at 2 a.m. approximately 4 days later and spend 45 minutes in the dark rebuilding the entire context of your relationship with this person from first principles. The new moon in Leo on 13th of August falls in your 10th house of reputation and public life, but it also has an unpleasant habit of illuminating what you feel you're owed, and family is where that feeling lives, unexamined and thriving. Mars moves from Gemini into Cancer mid-month, which activates your 9th house and then crashes directly into your 8th, and with it comes the particular scorpionic sport of doing an enormous amount of emotional labour and then resenting everyone for not noticing. You will help. You will organise something. You may even spend money on it. And then you will sit across from these people at whatever gathering this is, contributing quietly, running the whole operation from behind the scenes, and feel an absolutely thunderous sense of injustice that no one is acknowledging it. You will say nothing, of course. You will file it. At work, Jupiter in Leo has been pushing you toward visibility since the spring, and this month that push gets specific. An opportunity appears that requires you to advocate for yourself out loud, to an actual person, in real time, without the benefit of drafting and redrafting until the message contains no fingerprints. This is agony for you. You will know the right thing to say. You will simply need 3 to 5 business days and preferably a solar eclipse before you can say it. Try not to take them. Venus moves into Libra late August, tripping through your 12th house, and this is where the relationship reading gets specific. You are not going to be jealous this month. You're going to be vigilant, which you consider quite different, and I consider the same thing with better posture. The person you're seeing, or the person you're pretending you're not interested in, will do something ordinary and human, and you will sit with the 17 possible interpretations of it before arriving at the one you were going to arrive at regardless. Give that person some air. They are probably not doing what you think, and if they are, you'll find out, because you always do. The full moon in Pisces on 28th of August lands in your 5th house, which rules creativity and pleasure, and also, less glamorously, your ego. Something you made, or said, or contributed reaches the people it was meant to reach. Let that be enough. You don't need to immediately wonder whether it was enough, or whether they meant it, or what they wanted from you by saying so. You are the person other people want in the room when things go genuinely wrong, the one who stays calm precisely because they've already imagined the worst-case scenario from six angles and made their peace with it. That is a remarkable quality, and you deploy it brilliantly, and it is an enormous shame that you also deploy it on Tuesday evenings when nothing is wrong at all. Oh, this should be fun, Sagittarius. August arrives and you've already spent money you don't have on something you've decided counts as an investment. A course, probably, or a flight, or both, because the course is in another city, which means the flight is basically part of the course, which means it's basically educational, which means it's basically free. This is Sagittarian accounting, and Jupiter sitting fat and cheerful in Leo is not going to help. Jupiter is your ruling planet, and right now it's in a sign that believes more is a personality. You're about to have the most expensive August of your recent memory, and you will feel great about it until approximately September. The Sun moves through Leo for most of the month before shifting into Virgo on the 23rd, and the new moon in Leo on the 13th falls in your ninth house, which is your house, your natural territory, philosophy, travel, big ideas, the version of yourself you've been meaning to become. A new moon here is a starting gun, and you will hear it and immediately begin planning something enormous. That plan will be funded by the credit card you only use for emergencies. Mercury is doing its own little tour this month, moving from Cancer into Leo and then into Virgo, which means your thinking sharpens considerably as August progresses. In Leo, your ideas have swagger. In Virgo, they start to have detail. By the end of the month, you'll actually be able to explain what you meant, which will be a refreshing change for everyone who's been nodding along since June. The full moon on the 28th is in Pisces, sitting directly opposite your sun in your seventh house of partnerships. Someone in your life is going to need more from you than your enthusiastic presence and a good anecdote. They'll want follow-through, consistency, the kind of attention that doesn't have one eye on the exit. You find this difficult, not because you're cold, but because you experience sustained emotional availability, the way most people experience a long-haul flight in a middle seat. You'll manage it, you just won't enjoy it. Work is complicated this month in a specific way. Saturn in Aries and Neptune in Aries are both sitting in your fifth house, which governs creativity, risk, and self-expression. Saturn wants you to commit to a structure. Neptune wants you to feel inspired without doing anything so vulgar as planning. You will spend a great deal of August oscillating between these two and producing something that is ambitious, atmospheric, and about 60% finished. Uranus is in Gemini, which is your opposite sign, moving through your seventh house. Relationships have an unpredictable quality to them right now, and if you've been taking someone's patience for granted, they're closer to their limit than you've noticed. You've mistaken "they always come back" for "they always will." Now, the thing you won't want to hear? You have a habit, when you feel trapped by a situation you created, of reframing it as a profound journey and then telling everyone about it. The debt becomes a lesson. The failed project becomes a pivot. The relationship you half abandoned becomes a story about personal growth. You're not wrong, exactly. It's just that the people who had to watch you arrive at this inspiring reframe are exhausted and they'd like a brief moratorium on the wisdom. You are, underneath all of this, someone who makes life feel larger than it was before you showed up. That's not nothing. In fact, for most people, it's everything. You just need to occasionally pay for the privilege of your own company in actual money on time. Now then, Capricorn, August arrives and you've already decided you're fine. You made this decision sometime in July, possibly while reorganizing your bookshelf or deep cleaning something that didn't need it. A feeling surfaced, you looked at it briefly, found it inconvenient, and filed it under things to address when circumstances are more favorable. Circumstances have not been more favorable since approximately 2019, but you remain optimistic about the filing system. Saturn sits in Aries this month, squaring your sign from your fourth house of home, roots, and the emotional infrastructure you prefer to pretend doesn't exist. Saturn squares are not subtle. They are the structural survey that finds the crack you've been painting over. You will feel this as a low, persistent sense that something domestic or family adjacent needs addressing, and you will respond by becoming extremely productive at work. Jupiter is in Leo, Lighting up your eighth house, which governs shared resources, psychological depth, and the things two people owe each other that aren't money. There's a conversation you need to have with someone close, and Jupiter is making it larger and harder to ignore with every week that passes. You will notice this as a slight tightening in the chest when a particular person messages you, or a tendency to answer questions they didn't ask while avoiding the one they did. The new moon on the 13th falls in Leo, in that same 8th house. New moons are beginnings. This one is sitting directly in the part of your chart that rules mutual trust, shared vulnerability, and what happens when one person has been carrying more than their agreed portion. You could use this as an opening. You will probably use it to suggest a restructured payment plan for a joint expense, because at least money is legible. Mercury moves through Cancer, Leo, and into Virgo across the month, which means your communication style will shift from guarded to formal to forensically precise. By late August, you'll be composing messages that are technically flawless and emotionally airtight. Not a word out of place, not a feeling in sight. The full moon on the 28th is in Pisces, your third house of communication, and it will illuminate everything you've been expressing sideways. You've been saying the thing by not saying it, and everyone else has noticed except you. Pisces full moons have a tendency to dissolve the container, which means whatever you've been keeping neatly contained may simply leak out on its own. You'd rather say it on your terms. This is your last decent window. Here's the part you'll hate. You are not actually afraid of the conversation. You've run it in your head dozens of times, and you know exactly how it goes, probably better than the other person does. You're afraid of the look on their face before they respond, that half second where you won't know what they think. You can plan for outcomes, but you cannot plan for that. So instead, you plan for everything else, and the conversation stays in the filing cabinet, and you both keep going, and nobody says it. Pluto in Aquarius, moving through your second house, has been quietly rewriting what you think your security actually is. It turns out some of what you've been protecting wasn't an asset. It was a habit. You're more capable of honesty than almost anyone I read for. You're also more practiced at deploying your capability strategically, which means only when you've decided it's safe. August is asking you to say the true thing before you know it's safe. That's not a comfortable ask for a Capricorn. Do it anyway. You've survived harder things and you documented all of them. All of deep breath. Aquarius. Pluto has been in your sign since 2023, and by now you've had enough time to absorb what that means. You haven't, but you've had the time. The short version is that you're being dismantled and rebuilt, which sounds dramatic until you realize the process mostly manifests as you becoming increasingly convinced that everyone around you is operating at a lower frequency. August is the month that delusion goes into overdrive. Jupiter is sitting in Leo, which is your opposite sign, lighting up your seventh house of partnerships. Leo is loud, golden, and absolutely certain it deserves the spotlight. You find this mortifying. You find it even more mortifying that it seems to be working for them. Somewhere in your life right now, there is a person who is doing the thing you want to do, doing it with less intellectual rigor and considerably more charisma, and getting rewarded for it. Watch yourself around this person. You will not be able to stop comparing. You will also not be able to admit you're comparing, which means the energy has to go somewhere, and it usually goes into a series of very calm, very measured observations about how interesting it is that some people just aren't afraid to be mediocre in public. The new moon falls on 13th August in Leo, right there in your seventh house, and it's asking you to start something new in your relationships. The catch is that starting something new requires admitting that what's currently there isn't working, and Aquarius has a particular talent for intellectualizing stasis into philosophy. You're not stuck, you're discerning. You're not avoiding intimacy, you're protecting your sovereignty. You're not refusing to have the conversation, you're waiting for the conditions to be right. The conditions are never right. Have the conversation. Mercury starts the month in Cancer, dragging feelings into your communications whether you invited them or not, before moving into Leo mid-month and then into Virgo by the end. This means August has a strange quality of emotional oversharing, followed by competitive posturing, followed by anxious over-editing. You will send a message in week one that reveals more than you meant to. You will spend the rest of the month drafting replies so carefully they stop resembling human speech. At work, Saturn in Aries is activating your third house, which governs how you think, communicate, and position yourself. Saturn in Aries is not a patient placement. It wants results, structure, and evidence that you've done the work. This is fine, except that you've spent most of the year building a very sophisticated argument for why your unconventional approach will pay off eventually, and Saturn is starting to ask for receipts. The receipts are not quite ready. This would be a good month to produce something concrete rather than something visionary. I know. The full moon on 28th August falls in Pisces, in your second house of money and self-worth. Full moons in Pisces have a way of dissolving the boundaries you've built around your sense of value, which means you'll likely end the month in a peculiar mood about what your work is actually worth and whether anyone will ever pay you for the version of it that's inside your head, rather than the version that fits into the brief. This is a legitimate feeling. It's also one you've had before, and acting on it at a full moon in Pisces is how people make expensive decisions they describe as intuitive. The thing nobody ever tells Aquarius, because you've made it so clear you don't need telling, is that you're not above wanting to be seen. You just need it to arrive in a form you can respect, and you've set the bar so high that almost nothing clears it. This month, something might. Try not to immediately explain why it doesn't count. And now for reasons I'm sure they'll regret reading. Pisces. August opens with everyone else having a loud, sunlit, unapologetically good time, and you standing slightly to one side of it, cataloguing their joy and quietly deciding you could do it better. This is the month's engine. Not grief, not anxiety, not the romantic longing you usually dress yourself in. Comparison. Specifically, the kind you refuse to call comparison because you're doing it with your feelings, which you've decided makes it different. It doesn't. The sun is in Leo until the 22nd, lighting up your sixth house of daily work, routine, and the very unglamorous matter of showing up. Jupiter is also in Leo and has been for a while, expanding everything in that same house. This would be an excellent time to actually build something with your hands, your discipline, your steady accumulated effort. Pisces can do this. Most of you just prefer not to, because effort is trackable. And trackable things can be compared, and comparison is the thing you've convinced yourself you're above. You're not above it. You're just running it covertly. What's happening is this. Someone in your life is visibly thriving. A colleague, a friend, an ex who really should have had the decency to peak before you did. And instead of simply being pleased for them or simply being envious, both of which are honest, you've constructed an elaborate internal argument about why their success is actually less meaningful than it looks. You've found the asterisk. You've footnoted their achievement in your head so many times, the footnote is longer than the document. This is the month that pattern becomes impossible to ignore. In love, Venus moves from Virgo into Libra on the 22nd, shifting from your seventh house of partnership into your eighth house of depth, shared resources, and the things people don't say. Before that shift, there's a version of you who is meticulously, unfairly measuring your relationship against something you saw online, or something someone said at a party, or some idea of partnership you half remember from a film made in 2004. Your actual partner, who is present and imperfect and real, will feel this in some way they can't quite name. They'll notice you've gone somewhere without them. They won't know it's a competition they didn't enter. At work, Mercury has been moving through Cancer, Leo, and into Virgo this month, and that final shift around the 23rd should sharpen your thinking considerably. Before then, you are extremely capable of spending a full week on a task that has already been approved, reworking it until it reflects better on you than whoever did the previous version. You're not wrong that it could be better. You are entirely wrong about why you're doing it. The full moon on the 28th falls in Pisces, your first house of self. This is your moon. It will feel big and important and like a culmination of something. What culminates will depend on whether you've spent the month building or brooding. Full moons in your own sign have a way of making whichever one you've been doing impossible to deny. Here is the thing I suspect you least want to hear. The person you're most obsessed with measuring yourself against this month almost certainly has no idea you framed them as your competition. They're just living their life. The entire contest is happening in a stadium only you can see, and you've sold yourself all the tickets. You feel things more completely than almost anyone I know of in the zodiac. That's not a small thing. This month, try pointing some of it at your own life, rather than using it to audit everyone else's. And that's all 12 signs sorted for August 2026. If you feel personally attacked, good, that means I got your chart right. I'll be back next month with fresh material, assuming the planets don't do anything too dramatic in the meantime. Which, knowing this year, they absolutely will. Find me at badastrologer.com for daily readings, the incompatibility test, and personalized natal chart readings that get even more specific about your failings. Until next time, don't blame me, blame the stars.